the fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of a life yielded to God's control. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell explains God's process for growing spiritual fruit in our lives.
The spiritual gifts, those can be imitated by Satan, but spiritual fruit can only be produced by God. So there are going to be people at the Great White Throne Judgment who can say, Lord, but I cast out devils in your name. Why? I was a member of First Church and I did all kinds of stuff. The Lord's going to say, I never knew you.
Every believer has the capacity to bear the fruit of the Spirit. In our series, Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows, we will learn how to experience the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you want to learn how to have peace in the midst of a storm, how to keep joy when depression comes, how to practice patience through difficulty, and how to love the unloved, then this series is for you. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Goodness Grows Where the Stream Flows.
How many of you have ever seen a child? Man, when they are good, oh, she's so cute. Oh, what a sweet little thing. And they just seem to smile and they're so good. And then about a half an hour later, you're like, is this the same person? Screaming, crying, pulling hair, kicking, whatever. Where's the goodness? You see, the kind of goodness that I can give or that you can give in our own flesh, it's up and down, it's temporary at best. But the Holy Spirit wants to bring a constancy to your marriage, to your life, to your relationships. He wants the goodness of God to flow where that stream is flowing. So this morning's question is, how can we be good? And someone says, Pastor, we can't just forget it. It's impossible. Wait a minute. With God, all things are possible. How can we experience this goodness? Three things this morning. First, we must recognize our need for God's goodness. Every one of us must recognize that we cannot produce good fruit on our own. Every one of us must come to that point that we need God's goodness. Why? Because our original nature is not good. The roots of our life come down to an Adamic nature, and we have no ability to produce good fruit on our own. Now, I do not believe this morning, as some believe, that man is inherently good. I was watching television some years ago, and I heard a secular humanist on the television say that his belief was in the complete inherent goodness of man. He said, we as humanists believe that man is basically good and that man can bring world peace and that man can solve all of her problems without Jesus Christ, without the Bible or any of these types of absolutes. He says, why? Because man is inherently good. And when he said that, I had to laugh out loud. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. Do we live on the same planet? Does this guy watch the news at night? I mean, what's up with this? This that all men are inherently good. If they were so good, we wouldn't be having the trials and the wars and the burglaries and the difficulties that we experience, you see. The fact of the matter is, I do not believe man is inherently good. And I don't believe it for several reasons. One, I don't believe it because I have observed world history. Just go read a history book. And you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars and fightings and problems. You're going to learn that man has not always been inherently good. I do not believe man is inherently good because I have had four children. And I have watched them from their earliest development display something other than continual goodness. At times, it has been ugly. But I'll tell you, the real reason that I believe that man is not inherently good is because the Bible says we're not. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 3:12, they are all gone out of their way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We just, right from the get-go this morning, as husbands, we've got to say, hey, I can't be a good husband in the sense of the fruit of the Spirit on my own. I can't be a good wife. I can't be a good person on my own. I can try and fail, but I must have God producing that through me. Our original nature is not good. Secondly, we cannot produce true goodness. We cannot produce true goodness. Romans 7:18 says, Paul wrote this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." He says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't always know how to get the job done. In fact, Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:6, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." In other words, even when I try to do good on my own, compared to the righteousness of God, compared to the truly pure way of showing forth goodness that God produces in our hearts, it's nothing what I do on my own. Now, what I'm simply saying this morning is that all of us must recognize the fact that we cannot produce goodness on our own. Benjamin Franklin was a man in our American history who talked a lot about virtue and integrity and honesty. He wrote many letters to his sons to challenge them to follow in that path. And in his autobiography, Benjamin Franklin wrote these words. He said, "I conceived the bold and arduous project of arriving at moral perfection. I wished to live without committing any fault at any time. I would conquer all that either natural inclinations, custom, or company might lead me into. As I knew, or thought I knew, what was right or wrong, I did not see why I might not always do the one and avoid the other. But I soon found I had undertaken a task of more difficulty than I had imagined. While my care was employed in guarding against one fault, I was often surprised by another. Habit took the advantage of attention. Inclination was sometimes too strong for reason. I concluded at length that the mere speculative conviction that it was our interest to be completely virtuous was not sufficient to prevent our slipping." In other words, he said, "I tried to be virtuous, I tried to be good, but at length I concluded I could not be good." So let's just start right there this morning by saying, Lord, if old Ben Franklin couldn't do it, I can't do it. I can't on my own produce this virtue. Now then, how in the world are we going to be good? How in the world can we produce this good fruit? And let's come to the second thought this morning. And we must then receive Christ as our Savior. That's where it begins. You and I will never have the capacity for bearing goodness apart from the indwelling Lord Jesus Christ, apart from His Spirit. Now, in order to receive Christ as our Savior, then every one of us must by faith realize our need for Him. And when we do that, we will be born of His Spirit. Letter A, you will be born of His Spirit. In other words, receiving Christ as Savior is a new birth. It is the reception of a new nature. It is the reception of His presence and His power within you. May I say to you this morning that the new birth is a spiritual birth. It is a spiritual birth. Remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:5. He said, Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." So when a man believes that he is a sinner and he asks Jesus Christ to come into his life and be his Savior, it is at that very moment that the Spirit of God is working. It is at that very moment that the Holy Spirit is changing him from the inside out. And it is what we call the new birth. It is what Jesus calls being born again. So the new birth is a spiritual birth, and it involves the Holy Spirit changing us from the inside out. And when someone has the Holy Spirit in their life, then and only then can they see the fruit that we're talking about. Can they bear the fruit of God's goodness? The new birth is spiritual. And if you've never been born again, I challenge you this morning to trust Jesus as your Savior, to allow Him to come into your life and change you from the inside out. Not only is the new birth spiritual, the new birth is eternal. It is eternal. The Bible says in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Jesus says, "I'm going to give you eternal life, and you'll never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." By the way, how many of you are thankful today for the fact that you are eternally secure in your salvation with Jesus Christ? See, and by the way, that's a doctrine, and we're here today to not only help people in their relationships, but we unashamedly teach the doctrines of the Word of God. Amen. We need both. And there is a doctrine that no man can pluck us out of the hand of God. So the new birth is spiritual and the new birth is eternal. The Bible says in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Bible says in John 14, 6, Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And so the new birth is available exclusively through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you recognize that you cannot be good on your own, then you see the need to receive Christ as Savior. And when you receive Christ as Savior, you will be born of His Spirit. And secondly, you will become a partaker of His nature. This is important, because it is Christ in you that can produce this fruit of goodness. It is the fact that you have become a partaker of His nature that will now enable you to be a producer of His goodness through you. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 speaks of this. And it says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. By the way, how many of you believe the Bible is full of exceeding great and precious promises? And the greatest promise is that Jesus Christ will pay for your sin. Now notice what it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God says when you receive His promises, you become the partaker of His divine nature. It is that nature. It is the presence of the Holy Spirit that will bring about the goodness of God through your life. It's not us trying to be good. It's the fact that He is good through us. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, or Christ liveth through me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, we must recognize then this morning our need for God's goodness. We must say, I today need God to work through me. And secondly, we must receive Christ as our Savior. We must come to that place where we have trusted Him as our Savior. And then thirdly, this morning, we can reveal the goodness of God to a lost world. Once I have realized I can't produce this goodness, once I have accepted Christ as Savior and have received His divine nature, now I can be good. Now I can have love, joy, and peace, as the Bible speaks about. Now remember, being good is simply what we are on the inside. That's what I am. I am good in Christ. In other words, that's a matter of having His Spirit in me. But doing good is what people see on the outside. Being good is a matter of the Holy Spirit working inwardly. Doing good is the fruit that people see. Now, the fact of the matter is that good living then is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now then, how will that goodness be revealed? How will it be developed through our lives? A few thoughts. First of all, goodness is found in the Word of God. Goodness is found in the Word of God. So when a Spirit-led Christian comes to the Word of God, he will learn how he or she can produce the goodness of God. We do not want to go by our feelings in this matter. Micah 6:8 says, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So we see that God has called us to do good. He has called us to be faithful unto Him, and He has called us and showed us through His Word how this might be possible. Some of you might recall a few years ago, John F. Kennedy was flying off of Long Island there in New York and came into some difficulties and then crashed and was killed in that small plane craft. And it was interesting to read the reports following. There were many who said that really what caused the dilemma in the cockpit was something called vertigo. He became somewhat unaware through the vertigo of which way to turn. In fact, some say he literally drove the plane to its own demise because he was trying to follow his feelings. He was trying to make a decision, but his decision maker was broken. And I've seen Christians make decisions when their heart or their decision maker wasn't following the Word of God. And sometimes it leads to destruction. And here we see that our guide must be the Word of God, not our feelings, not what we thought, but what the Bible says. Mark Twain once said something that I think describes the hearts of sometimes many Christians. He said, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the parts that I do understand that bothers me." And sometimes we don't want to follow the Word of God, and yet when we follow it, goodness will always be the result. Goodness comes through the Word of God. Secondly, goodness is cultivated through godly fellowship. Goodness comes through godly fellowship. Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto what? Good works." Good works. So God says the right kind of fellowship will produce the right kind of behavior. Nearness is likeness. Have you ever been in a situation with maybe a group of people or maybe a few people, and when you got done, you just felt kind of cruddy or ugly? You didn't feel closer to the Lord. You wish you wouldn't have experienced that. That's not the kind of fellowship that produces good works. So goodness is a result of the Word of God. It's a result of godly fellowship. Thirdly, goodness is revealed through our walk with Jesus Christ. As I learn to walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now let's turn to the book of Ephesians real quickly. Ephesians chapter 2. And here's a real familiar passage for a lot of you again. But the third verse I want to read is less familiar for some. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." How many of you today are thankful that salvation is the gift of God? What a great verse that is. And then it says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." How many of you are thankful you don't have to do things like getting baptized or knocking on doors or whatever in order to be saved? That would be legalism, to add to something other than God's grace for salvation. I'm thankful that salvation is a free gift. Now then, notice verse 10. It says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto," what does it say? "Good works." So in other words, God saves us by His grace. Absolutely, it is a free gift. Salvation is by grace through faith. Thank God for that. We don't have to work to get saved. But the Bible goes on to say, we are His workmanship. He has created us that we might serve Him, and we are created unto good works. So God says, as you walk with me, as you realize that you are created in me, then there will be works that come forth from your life, and they will be good works. Now, what are some of the good works that are seen as God is involved in our lives? I want you to notice a couple. First of all, there's the good work of our witness, of our witnessing. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your," what? "Good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So the good work of witnessing. Hey folks, when the Holy Spirit's working through your life, you're going to let your light so shine before men that when they see those good works, they're going to say, "Wow, I knew that guy before he got saved. And if he wanted to go out and do something like that, that must be God." How many of you would like to have a life that periodically men would see your light and they would glorify your Father which is in heaven? Amen? That's the kind of life the Holy Spirit produces. Notice secondly, not only the good work of witnessing, but the good work of serving. The good work of serving. Acts chapter 9 and verse 39 says, "Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." Here was one of the ladies of the early church. Her name was Dorcas. When Dorcas passed away, all the widows came and they said, "Peter, look at the garments that she made. Look at the way that this woman served." And notice the key phrase in verse 39, the last phrase says, "while she was with them." Listen, when the Holy Spirit puts on your heart to do something good for your wife, to do something good for your husband, to do something good for someone that you love, let me encourage you this morning, don't wait. What is your life? It's but a vapor. It appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. I thank God this morning that He's placed me here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I thank God that He's given me a wonderful wife and children. I recognize this morning, life is short. I'm not going to spend my life here and there and doing this and that. I want to focus on loving those precious people that God has surrounded me with. And Dorcas did that while she was with them. Don't lose the opportunity to do something while you're here that has eternal significance. I heard of a husband that came home from work and he did what he always did. He sat down in his lazy chair, he opened up the paper and began to read. And every day his wife got irritated. She got frustrated. And one day she finally came to him and she said, you probably don't even know what today is. Boy, he jumped up out of that chair. He ran outside the house. A few hours later, his wife received a big box of chocolates with a note that said, "I love you." Later on that night, they sat down at a candlelight dinner and they were looking across the table. And his wife said, "Honey, I want to thank you for making this the most memorable Groundhog Day ever." Now, fellas, the fact is, if you wait too long, you're not even going to know what's going on, you see. And the fact of the matter is that you don't want to wait. You don't want to find yourself in the holding pattern when God is trying to get you to do some good works for your family. Turn to one final verse, if you would. 1 Peter 2:12. 1 Peter 2:12. We're talking about the goodness of God through us. The good works, the good fruit that grows through Spirit-filled Christians. 1 Peter 2:12. And let's read it together, shall we? Ready, begin. "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now look at the word there, conversation. That means your lifestyle, the way you live. God says that it would be honest. And God says that there will be those. Notice, whereas they speak against you as evildoers. God says, I want you to live in such a way that when people say, "I'll tell you about him, I'll tell you about her, why, a bunch of hypocrites and evil and wicked and da-da-da-da and whatever," so that when that is said, that by your good works which they shall behold, one day they will have to glorify God for the way He used your life. I've never known anybody that was really going forward for God, really trying to live for God, that didn't have some of this. Verse 12, "speak against you as evil doers." And the fact of the matter is, what you want to do when that happens, when someone accuses your motives or someone is being harsh towards you, what you want to do during those times is pray, "Spirit of God, fill me." Because when you 10 years later are still loving and still giving and still serving and still witnessing while someone else is pulled over at the side and just talking about all the faults of your life, listen, they will know you by your fruit. The Bible says so that when they speak of you as an evildoer, they may behold your good works. The best way to answer that is to stay faithful in good works. Now I wonder this morning, is there goodness in your heart? And by the way, if Jesus is there, the answer is yes. There's always the potential to do good when Jesus Christ is your Savior and the Holy Spirit is there. The question is, are you yielding to the Holy Spirit today? Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to produce goodness towards your wife, towards your husband, towards your children? Are you allowing God's goodness to be evident in your life? Oh, this morning I pray that we would be a Spirit-filled believer, that we would be a Spirit-filled church where it is obvious that God is producing love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and, yes, even goodness. You know why? There's not enough good in this world. There's not enough good sometimes even around churches. I pray that through the Holy Spirit, we would have good coming forth from our lives. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this fruit that we've learned about today, the fruit of goodness. And Lord, I pray this morning that you would help each of us to so yield ourselves to your Spirit that there would be that fruit that is very obvious coming forth. I pray that if there's someone here today that has never been born again by your Spirit, that today would be the day they trust Jesus as their Savior.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California.
Pastor Chapel is making a concerted effort to reach the world with the good news of Christ's love, but he can't do it alone. It takes a special group of Christians to stand with him each month. Daily in the Word partners, and today, it has never been easier to become one of them. When you support Daily in the Word Ministries, you're investing in the lives of men, women, and young people who will come to know Jesus Christ through the various outreaches of Daily in the Word. I challenge you to become a partner today by calling 1-800-688-6329 or by logging on to dailyintheword.org and making a donation. Your gift will be faithfully put to use as we spread the gospel around the world to this generation. We will also send you a copy of our latest magazine and a book from Dr. Chapel as a thank you for your monthly support. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.